天父，我们求你安静我们的心。
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to calm our hearts.
特别我们今天要迅速的学习怎么去等候神。
Especially since today we will continue to learn about how to wait on God.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督的名。
Thank you for listening to our prayer and praying in Jesus' name.
撒母耳记像二十四章呢，是自在大会决定不杀害扫罗。
First Samuel chapter 24 records the story on how David had decided not to harm Saul.
所以呢，上一次呢，我们就学到这个大卫怎么去等候神。
So last time we learned how David waited on God.
我形容呢，这个是好像一个脱级的等候班。
And I describe this as the beginning class of learning how to wait.
特别大卫这个例子提醒我们呢，当我们遇见神开门关门的时候呢，我们要小心的去决定。
And the example of David in particular reminded us that we need to be careful when we try to use open door / closed door to decide on God's will.
我们要留意我们自己的良心。
We have to be careful with our own conscience.
最后呢，我们每一次都要回到圣经里面去。
And at the end, we must go back to the Bible every time.
二十四章里面，大卫把扫罗放了。
In chapter 24, David let Saul go.
但是这个没有结束了大卫逃亡的生涯。
But this did not conclude David's life on the run.
所以我们今天我们会继续看25-26章。
Today we will continue into chapter 25 and 26.
我们会继续看大卫是怎么去等候神。
We will continue to see how David was waiting on God.
我形容25章呢是一个等候的终极的课程。
终极是 terminal 中间还是后面
intermediate
So I learned that so I described chapter 25 as the intermediate class of learning how to wait on God.
25章里面呢有一个人呢叫拿巴。
There's a character by the name of Nabal in the chapter 25.
圣经呢形容呢他是一个大富户。
But the Bible described him as a very wealthy man.
同一个形容词呢，曾经来形容过约伯。
The same adjective was used to describe Job.
圣经讲呢，他有3000的绵羊，1000的山羊。
The Bible tells us that Nabal had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats.
当时呢，是他剪羊毛的时间。
And it was time to shear these sheep.
有人记过他有剪多的羊的时候呢，他应该可以剪到3吨的羊毛。
Some people had calculated that with that many sheep, he would end up with 3 tons of wool.
拿巴呢，他是一个加勒族的人。
And he is also from the tribe of, he's also a member of Calebite.
所以呢，他是犹太人，犹太族里面住在犹大的这个地。
So he's one of the Israelites living on the land that belongs to Judah.
他有一个很聪明又漂亮的太太。
He has a very beautiful and very intelligent wife.
但是呢，圣经形容他自己呢是一个奸夫凶恶的人。
But the Bible describes himself as a man.Of a mean and surly character.
And 当时因为呢是剪羊毛的时间呢，那么大卫就打发他的手下去找拿巴，希望他打赏大卫。
So because it was time of shearing the sheep, David asked sent his some of his men to a neighbor to ask for rewards.
我从前看到这里呢，我常觉得大卫就好像就是黑社会一样。
In the previous times when I read these verses, I felt like David was no different from those gangsters.
就是受 保护费吗？
So asking for a protection fee.
但是呢，如果大卫真的是黑社会的时候呢？
If, however, if David were truly a gangster,
那么他手上有600人，根本上他就不需要去求拿把给打赏给他，他自己去拿就可以了。
And because David had 600 men of his own, he did not have to wait for Nabal to reward him. He could just go and take whatever he wanted.
现在呢，我了解他们的背景的时候呢，我就觉得呢，其实呢，大卫的请求呢是合情合理的。
Now I understand a better understanding of their backgrounds. I find David's request to be reasonable.
首先呢，他首先呢，大卫是吩咐他的手下。你要向拿巴问安的时候呢，要提到我的名。
But first, David asked his man to go make a request to Nabal in David's name.
你有没有想过为什么他要提到他的名呢？
Do you know why David want his people, his man to mention his name?
因为大卫是一个犹大族的人，拿巴也是。
And because David.It was from the tribe of Judah, same as Nabal.
其实他们那两个人的家乡呢，距离不到20里。
As a matter of fact, their hometowns were not more than 20 miles apart from each other.
所以呢，他拿巴很可能是他的远房亲戚。
It's entirely possible that Nabal was a distant relative of David.
对我们东方人呢，比方说我们中国人呢，向你的亲戚去希望他帮助你呢，这个是可以说是合情理的。
So for us Asians, especially for us Chinese, asking for help from your relatives is a very reasonable and legal thing.
还有呢，大卫呢，其实他是一个我们读到的时候，我们知道他是国家的一个英雄。
And also we know at this point that David is a national hero.
他曾经呢为以色列人呢打败这个巨人哥利亚。
And he had defeated Goliath for the country of Israel.
所以呢大卫这个功劳呢其实是每个人都认同的。
And everybody can agree on David's accomplishment.
所以呢对好像你对军人有优待的这个其实也是不是一个很不合人情的一个要求。
Just like we have special discounts for military personnel, this request is indeed very reasonable.
还有呢，大卫的手下呢，他提出一件事情。
And these men of David also raised another request.
就是呢，他们对拿巴的贡献。
And they mentioned their help that they had provided to Nabal.
就是呢，保护他们的羊
，and that was providing protection to his sheep.
这件事情呢，连拿巴的仆人呢也可以做证人。
And this was also witnessed and agreed upon by Nabal's servants.
对，虽然呢拿巴没有请他们去保护他的羊，但是呢，你可以说大卫的手下呢没有功也有劳啊。
So even though you may argue that Nabal never asked for David and his man's help, but you have to agree that even though they may not have initiated, but they have accomplished something at the end.
所以呢，大卫的请求呢是非常合乎人情的。
And therefore, David's request was very reasonable according to human standards.
而且呢，也是非常合理的。
And it's also, from a legalistic standpoint, a very reasonable request.
合理的意思呢，就是合乎圣经的这个律法。
What that means is it's also according to the laws from the Bible.
在《生命记》24章里面呢，有一条律法简直讲。
And then there's this law from the Bible that says.
就是神要求啊，这些就是农夫，当你收割的时候，收成的时候。你要留一些给这些呢穷人，这些寄居的人。
And it basically says that during time of harvest, the Bible asks these farmers to leave something behind for the poor people, such as the foreigners.
所以你看见呢，大卫向拿巴的要求呢，也合乎圣经的这个原则。
So therefore, David's request to Nabal is also biblical.
但是拿巴听到大会的要求的时候呢，他不但只拒绝。
So Nabal, when he first heard David's request, not only did he reject the request,
他还有呢，就是侮辱大卫。
And he also insulted David.
他问大卫是谁呀？
He asked the question of who David was.
那他其实他知道他是，因为他下面一句就讲到耶斯的儿子，讲到他是一个逃命的一个人。
Actually, as a matter of fact, he knew who David was because the very next question he raised, he knew it was David was Jesse's son, and he was a man that was on the run.
所以呢，他侮辱大卫呢是一个叛逆他主人的一个人。
He insulted David as one who had rebelled against his master.
那当大卫听到拿巴的这个如福的时候呢，他就决定呢，他要带他的手下去把拿巴所有的男丁都杀死。
So when David heard every word of Nabal's response, he decided to take his man and then go to Nabal's place and kill all of his males.
那么就是这个时候呢，拿巴的妻子听到这个事情。
At the same time, Nabal's wife heard what had happened.
他妻子就是 Abigail 啊，阿比该。
His wife was named Abigail.
她很聪明啊。
She's very smart.
首先呢，她就带礼物呢去迎接大会。
She first brought gifts to meet up with David.
他见到大卫远远的来到的时候，就跪在大卫的面前。
When she saw David coming toward her from a distance, she bowed before him.
那么呢，他就你见到他有个很谦卑的态度去求大卫去饶恕他们。
She pleaded with David with a very humble attitude.To forgive Nabal.
亚比该呢提出四个原因。
Abigail brought up four reasons.
四个原因，第一个原因呢，他就说，第一就是你不要跟这个拿巴这个蠢人呢，这个愚蠢的人呢计较。
But the first reason was that David does not need to lower himself pay any attention.To this fool by the name of Nabal.
我想有的时候我们也要了解，就是我们不能跟有一些人，你就是不能跟他计较了。
So we all understand that certain people at some point, you just have to let it go.
第二呢，他提到了神现在是通过我来阻止你去伸手报仇的。
And the second reason she said was that it was God who has sent her to stop him.To start this, to keep him from having this bloodshed.
但是呢，他同样相信呢，神会惩罚，大卫的敌人，包括拿巴。
But she also believed that God will punish David's enemies, including Nabal.
他希望呢，大卫你去饶恕拿巴。
She asked David to forgive Nabal.
如果你这样子做的时候，神就会。以你无过。
If you do so, then you would have committed no wrongdoing in God's eyes.
神会保护你的生命，反而呢，他会把你的敌人呢，好像一个石头一样，就是抛出去。
If in that case, God will protect your life, and in addition, God will hurl David's enemies.Outward like a stone.
最后呢，他说，如果你饶恕拿巴的时候，将来你就不会因为这件事情心里面不安，良心有愧。
And she also mentioned that if David can forgive Nabal, then eventually he will not have any regrets on his conscience. He will not have a staggering burden.
结果呢？大卫就听了亚比该的劝勉
，and David listened and followed Abigail's advice.
那么他就回去了
，so he returned.
第二天呢，亚比该就把这个事情告诉他的丈夫
And the next day, Abigail told everything happened to her husband.
拿巴听到以后呢，圣经就形容呢，他魂不附体啊。
After Nabal had heard the story, the Bible described him as one who had his heart that had failed him.
那么呢，过了十天，神击打他，他就死了。
And after 10 days, God struck him and he died.
从这个故事里面，我们学到什么功课？
So what do we learn? What kind of lessons do we learn from the story?
我想第一样事情我学到的就是有一些事情虽然它是合情合理的，但不一定是合神的旨意。
But what I've learned, the first lesson I learned is that certain things which may be reasonable and legal, but they are not necessarily according to God's will.
拿巴辱骂大卫
Nabal insulted David.
圣经形容他呢是以恶报善。
The Bible described him as rewarding insults for David's goodness.
所以大卫决定呢，他要趁手就去报仇。
And that's why he wanted revenge.
从人的角度哈，这个其实是和一个很和情理的一个反应。
From human perspective, this is a very reasonable choice to make.
拿巴的确是一个呢，不值得可怜的一个人。
Nabal indeed was one who did not deserve any mercy.
那如果一件事情呢不合情不合理的时候，应该就不是神的旨意了。
Things that are not reasonable, they are not according to God's will.
但是呢，反过来呢，就是一个事情，它是合情合理的，也不一定是神的旨意哦。
However, need to keep in mind that even if things are reasonable and they appear to be legal, they're not necessarily according to God's will.
你想想，我们平常呢，什么叫合情合理啊
？So think about our daily lives. What it is considered as reasonable?
比方说，公平就是很合情合理了。
So often we consider fairness as a very reasonable standard.
所以呢，我们说少数要听从多数。
So we ask the minority to obey the majority.
比方说，另外一个例子就是，这一次是你做主，下一次应该是我做主，这个也是公平的。
So fairness can also be cases where one person makes the decision this time, but it has to be someone else who makes the decision next time.
那么什么是合理呢
？So what would be considered as legal?
特别对我们基督徒来说，就是如果是合乎圣经，那么就是合乎真理了。
So especially for us Christians, things are according to the Bible, then they should be legal.
但是呢，我要提醒大家，就是你符合以上两个条件呢，有的时候还是不合乎神的旨意哦。
And I want to tell everyone that even if you have fulfilled these two criteria of reasonable and legal, you're not necessarily doing things according to God's will.
新约圣经里面呢有一个例子。
There's an example in the New Testament.
你知道当时教会里面常常为了一件事情吵架是什么事？
Do you know about this one thing that the churches often argued about at that time?
就是呢，他们呢在吵架，就是。他们能不能吃拜过偶像的肉
？They were arguing about whether they can eat the meat that has been offered to idols.
那有一些人就说偶像不算不得是什么
？Some people said that idol has no meaning.
所以呢，吃了肉其实是没有什么影响。
And therefore, eating the meat that was offered to the idols has no meaning either.
这个的确是。从圣经的角度，这个是对哦。
So from a biblical perspective, that is a correct view.
还有呢，他们会讲到，我吃什么是我的自由啊。
And people would also argue that it is within our freedom to eat whatever we want.
这个是我的权利吗
？It's within our rights.
但是呢，圣经呢在讨论这个事情的时候，他就提醒我们，你不但只要这个事情不但只要合情合理，你要考虑一个。就是呢，它符合不符合爱的原则。
But when the Bible talks about this particular case, the Bible is saying that you cannot just consider whether something is reasonable or not, And you also have to consider whether your starting point, your motivation is love or not.
所以保罗就说了，如果这件事情叫人跌倒的时候，我就一概不照做。
And Paul was saying that if whatever you do can trip others, then you should not do it.
那么你说，那么我的自由呢？
Then you may ask, what about my rights?
保罗就说，你信主的时候，你就已经是主耶稣的仆人了，你不再为自己活了。
And Paul said that when youbelieved in Jesus, then you're a servant of Lord Jesus. You're no longer living for yourself.
我们每一个基督徒都是为了主而活。
Every one of us Christians is living for Lord Jesus.
神的旨意呢，不单只是合乎情理的。
God's will is not only reasonable and legal.
它也合乎爱的原则。
But it's also according to the godly principle of love.
因为在圣经讲到了神的国是在乎公义和平并心灵中的喜乐在这几样上服侍基督的就为神的喜悦又为人所轻许
Because the Bible says that for the kingdom of God is of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit because anyone who serves Christ in this wayis pleasing to God and receives human approval.
第二个功课我们从这个故事里面学到的就是我们要听从智慧的人的劝勉。
And the second lesson that we have learned from the story is that we need to listen to the advice of the wise.
但我们上次提到了神有的时候呢用良心去提醒我们。
We already learned that God sometimes used conscience to remind us.
但是呢当你的这个情绪很激动的时候呢你就听不到你的良心在讲什么了
But however, during times of, however, you may not be able to hear your own conscience, if you're in state of, very, very emotional.
所以呢神会用另外一个方法去提醒你
So God will use another method to remind you.
他就是通过一个智慧人去提醒你
And he will remind you through a very wise person.
神就是通过亚比盖去提醒大卫。
So God, in this case, used Abigail to remind David.
那么智慧人的言语是像什么呢？
So what is the wisest words like?
传道书十二章十一节呢，形容了智慧人的言语好像刺棍。
In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 11, it describes that the words of the wise are like goats.
那刺棍呢，就是是什么来的呢？其实就是一条很长的杆子。
So what is a goat? Goat is a very long rod.
它的有一个尽头呢，就是都是好像一个钉子在，有一边是都是钉子在有一段的。
So one end of the rod is sharp, like a nail.
它是用来赶呢这些动物的。
It's used to hurt animals.
那如果你要赶牛的时候，这头牛呢不动。
So when you're hurting the cattle, he's not moving.
Okay, 或者呢他走得太慢。
Or he's too slow.
或者呢他走错方向。
Or he's going the wrong direction.
那么你就拿这个杆子刺刺这个动物。
And so you take the goat and poke it.
那么他痛了，他就会听你的话了。
And when he experiences the pain, then he will follow your instruction.
所以呢，智慧人的话也是同一个道理。
So the words of the wise is by the same logic.
他不一定呢是你喜欢听的话。
It's not necessarily something that you want to hear.
他不一定同意你的立场。
And that's certainly in agreement with your stance.
但是呢，他会带你去走一个正确的方向。
But it will guide you to the right direction.
很多时候呢，智慧人的话，他会给你一个不同的角度去看这件事情。
Oftentimes, words from the wise can give you a different perspective on the issue.
比方呢，大卫只看见他眼前呢要报仇。
For example, David only saw the need to revenge.
但是呢，亚比盖就提醒他。那么你能不能在神面前做一个无过的人呢
Abigail reminded him that can you be a man of no wrongdoing in front of God.
你会不会做完这件事情的时候，有一天你会后悔呢？
Would you have regrets one day if you did go ahead with this?
所以呢，我们神很多时候就是会通过这些智慧人呢，把他的提醒去告诉我们。
So God oftentimes will use the wise to give us His reminders.
那么你说我怎么知道？我们在旁边有这么多人给我们意见，你怎么知道哪一个意见是从神而来的智慧人呢？
So how do we know which advice is from God through the wise when there are so many people around us that's giving us advices all the time?
那传道书十二章第一节，基督说他讲到。杯中之师的言语好像钉稳的钉子都是一个牧者所赐的。
The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 11 continues that they collect the sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd.
当你听别人的意见，
When you listen to others' advice,
你不要看他的身份，
Do not take his status into any kind of regard.
或者他的地位，或者他的学会，
or his social status, or his degree, scholastic degree.
你要看看他的意见是从哪里来的。
You need to see where his advice is coming from.
是不是好像这段经文讲到了同一个牧者都是从我们的神而来？
Just like this verse says, it's from our God that's given by this one shepherd.
如果是从神而来的时候，他一定就是从圣经而来。
If it's from God, then it's from the Bible.
如果是从圣经而来的时候，他的意见就是好像一个钉稳的钉子一样。
If it's from the Bible, then the sayings are like firmly embedded nails.
那么这个就值得我们去考虑。
Then that's worth of our consideration.
最后这个故事提醒我们要用神的方法去解决事情。
And then at the end, the story reminds us that we need to use God's way to solve issues.
亚比该告诉大卫你要饶恕拿巴。
Abigail told David that David needs to forgive Nabal.
这个是神的原则。
And this is God's principle.
因为耶稣也曾经劝我们，我们要慈悲，好像你们的父慈悲一样。
Because Jesus had reminded us that we need to be merciful, just like our Father is merciful.
对这些得罪我们的人。
To the people who had offended us.
耶稣也提出来，我们不应该怜恤你的同伴，像我怜恤你吗？
Jesus had also said that shouldn't we have had mercy on our fellow servant just as I have had on you?
很多时候我们觉得呢，你饶恕一个人好像很不公平啊，这个做法。
Oftentimes we feel like forgiving someone is not a fair thing to do.
但是呢，只是饶恕跟公义是没有冲突的。
But as a matter of fact, forgiveness and righteousness are not in conflict with each other.
大卫希望，亚比该希望大卫饶恕拿巴。
Abigail wants David to forgive Nabal.
他的意思就是你不要自己去报仇。
So what she meant was that for David not to avenge himself.
他相信呢神会击打你的仇敌。
Because she believed that God will strike down David's enemies.
这个就是另外一个神的原则。
This is another principle, a godly principle.
就是让神为你伸冤。
And that is give room for God to for God to give His wrath.
罗马书里面这样子讲到，不要自己伸冤，宁可让步，听从主怒，因为经上记着说，主说。伸冤在我，我必报应。
And just like Romans chapter 12 verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.
结果神的真的在十天以后就惩罚拿巴。
So indeed, God punished Nabal after 10 days.
那么拿巴就死。
And Nabal died.
在这个事情上面，你看见神的公义。还是在背后的。
So through this story, you can see that God's just is there.
他保护大卫呢，好像保护一个 一个珍宝在一个在他手上一样。
So he protected David, he protected David like he securely bound David as a bundle of living.
反而呢，他的仇敌呢，就好像一个石头一样，很把他抛出去。
His enemy instead is like a stone that was hurled away.
大卫经历这件事情以后，他就对等候神呢有一个进步了。
So after David had experienced this incident, his skill of waiting on God had improved.
所以在26章里面，我形容呢，大卫已经到达这个高级的等候的地步了。
So in chapter 26, I consider David had reached the advanced level of waiting on God.
26章跟24章很像。
A lot of similarities between chapter 24 and 26.
扫罗又来追杀大卫。
Saul continued to pursue David.
但是这一次呢，大卫呢知道他来了，他就晚上的时候去看一看保罗这个他的这些病的情形。
And this time, David knew Saul was coming, so at late at night, he snuck into Saul's camp.To take a look at his situation.
他就跟他的一个将军呢，就晚上的时候就进到他的这个军营里面。
So with one of his generals, David went into Saul's camp.
然后发觉呢，他们所有人都在睡觉。
And they found out that everyone was asleep.
他就一直走到扫罗的面前。
So he was able to walk right up to Saul.
所以大卫的将军呢就讲一句话，他说：“现在神将你的仇敌，交在你手里，求你容我拿枪将他刺透在地上，一刺就成，不用再刺。”
His general said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't."Strike him twice.
那你看大卫下面的回答的时候，你就看见大卫的进步。
And now, if you look at David's response back to his general, you will see that he has matured.
那因为这件事情呢，很明显呢是神的安排。
So clearly, this arrangement was made by God.
他见到神为他开门了。
So he had seen that the God had opened the door for him.
他可以去杀扫罗。
That he could just kill Saul.
他杀扫罗呢，也是一个合情合理的决定。
And killing Saul would have been a very reasonable and legal thing to do.
因为24章里面他自己发誓不再追杀大卫的嘛，现在又来了。
Because in chapter 24, Saul had already promised David that he would not pursue David. However, he changed his mind again.
还有我这次在他的手下说，我来帮你杀，你自己不用动手的。
And this time, one of his men told David that I will take care of him myself. You don't have to do anything.
但是大卫的回答是什么？
But what was David's response?
他这次他不用他的良心去提醒他，也不用一个智慧人去提醒他。
He did not need his conscience to remind him, nor did he need a wise person to remind him.
他直接就拒绝这个提议。
He rejected this proposal.
他说不可杀耶和华的受膏者。
And he said right away, "Do not destroy Lord's anointed one."
这个是他在二十四章所学的功课。
And this is a lesson that he had learned in chapter 24.
还有呢，他讲到呢，他会等候神去击打他的仇敌。
He also said that he would wait on the Lord to strike down his enemy.
这个是他在二十五章里面所学到的功课。
And this was a lesson he learned in chapter 25.
所以呢，最后大卫只是把扫罗的水瓶跟他的枪拿到手以后就走了。
So at the end, David only walked away with Saul's spear and his water bottle.
走后呢，他就在远远的地方呢叫扫罗的名字。
After he had left, from a distance, David called Saul's name.
他就要证明呢，他虽然有这个能力去杀扫罗，但是他没有这样子做。
He wanted to prove that even though he could, but he did not kill Saul.
还有呢，他说呢，耶和华会按着他的他的公义诚实去报应一个人的。
And the Lord is going to judge a person based on his deeds.
他说，愿耶和华也看重我的性命啊，并且拯救我脱离一切的患难。
And may the Lord value his life and rescue him from all troubles.
大卫相信呢，用神的方法的时候会得到神的保护。
David believes that by following God's way, he will receive God's protection.
所以呢，大卫这一次呢，他进步了。
So David has matured.
我们很多时候觉得有这样子的信心呢，是对我们来说是不可能的。
Sometimes we may think that it's impossible to have this kind of faith.
但是你要留意，大卫就是在他平常的生活里面，一点一点的学习等候神，他最后才到26章这个地步。
So, but you need to understand that the reason he has reached where he was in chapter 26 was because he had learned little by little from his life experiences.
所以如果我们每一天等候神的时候，我们也可以好像大卫一样的成熟的去等候神。
So if we learn to wait on the Lord in every day of our lives, we will one day be mature enough to learn how to wait on the Lord just like David did.
我们最后一同祷。
And let's pray together.
天天父。
Dear Heavenly Father.
本来我们每一天遇到很多不公平的事情发生在我们身上。
Perhaps we encounter many things that happen to us that are unjust.
发觉很多苦难在我们的身上。
And also many troubles in our lives.
但是愿意我们不选择用我们自己的手去解决。
May we choose not to take care of these things with our own hands.
反而好像大卫一样，信靠神，等候神的时间表。
And instead, hope that we'll be like David, that with faith, that we will wait on the Lord.
因为我们知道神，你必定保护这些等候你的人。
Because we know that God will protect all those who wait on Him.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
And thank you for listening to our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.